Good morning. It's certainly good to see everyone here this morning. As it's already been announced, we are very grateful to have so many visitors with us this morning. We want you to know that you're our honored guest, and we are so delighted to have you here this morning. I appreciate Brother Tom and the song choices. One of the songs that we just sang, Rejoice in the Lord. And as we think about that song, that's why we're here this morning. We're here to rejoice in the Lord. It reminds me of Psalm 118, verse 24, where David says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice in it." We're also rejoicing this morning, according to Philippians 1, verse 18, because Christ is being preached. We're thankful that this last week, Brother Moore did a wonderful job in preaching Christ, and we rejoice that Jesus Christ is being preached. We're thankful that people are having the opportunity to hear the message of Jesus Christ. As we think about Jesus Christ, one of the goals that all of us have as we go through this life is to keep our minds, to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, encourages all of us to fix our minds on Christ. Listen to what the writer says. "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." That's what we are emphasizing this morning. We are striving to look at Jesus, to keep our focus on Jesus. Now, as we study the Word of God, I believe that there are certain verses in the Bible that we all like that really help us keep our mind on Jesus Christ. For example, in John 8, verse number 29, we learn in John 8, verse 29 that Jesus always did those things that pleased the Father. He always did those things that please the Father. Or maybe one verse that you have in mind is 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 9. As it reminds us about the sacrifice of Christ, and we think about what Christ gave up so that we could have eternal life. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 helps us focus more on Jesus Christ, where Paul said, "For you know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that ye through His poverty might be made rich." Or another verse that comes to mind that helps us keep our focus on Jesus is Luke 22, verse 27, where Jesus said, "I am among you as he that serveth." Jesus was all about serving others. That's how He lived His life. And when we think about Jesus serving others, it really helps us to fix our minds more upon Him. Or maybe we're thinking about His prayer life. In Mark 1, verse 35, it says, "Jesus, rising up a great while before the day, went into a solitary place, and there He prayed." Jesus spent so much time in prayer to His Heavenly Father. That helps us, again, to fix our eyes, our minds on Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more verse that you may want to write down that will help you, that can help me fix our minds on Jesus. I believe this verse reminds us of our Lord's evangelistic zeal. He came to seek and to save the lost, but in Mark 1, verse 38, Jesus said, "Let's go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore I came forth." Jesus said, "That's why I'm here. My focus is to teach others." And when our focus is on our God, on our Lord in Jesus Christ, we will want to teach others. We will want to fix our eyes upon Him. Not only are there certain verses that we can look at throughout the New Testament that can help us focus more on Christ, there are also certain contexts of Scripture that can help us focus our minds more on Christ. I want to turn to one of those contexts this morning. It's found in Matthew chapter 26. This is a familiar context to many of us, and we're going to pick up in verse number 36, and we're just going to read down to verse number 39, but this is the context of the Garden of Gethsemane. And as I said, this particular context can help all of us fix our eyes on Jesus. And there's a particular phrase that I want us to pay close attention because we're going to be focusing on that phrase in just a few minutes. But let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to begin in verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went, and notice this phrase, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. I want you to, again, notice that phrase. He went a little further. Now, I realize the context and that phrase applies to physical distance. He went a little further to pray, but you stop and think about that phrase and how that also applies to our Lord spiritually speaking. He went a little further in everything that He did. I simply wanted to focus in on that phrase in a spiritual way as it applies to our Lord. And I'll give you several points to think about to show how Jesus truly went a little further in everything that He did. Number one, Jesus went a little further in His sacrifice. Jesus went a little further in His sacrifice. In Isaiah chapter 53, we learn about the vicarious sufferer, Jesus Christ, the one who suffered for us, the one who was wounded for us. We learn in Isaiah 53, beginning at verse number 5, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. Isaiah would go on to say, still speaking about Christ, that atoning Lamb, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. Indeed, Jesus went a little further in His sacrifice. He was suffering for you and me. Turn to another context, if you please, in 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, consider what the Apostle Peter says about the suffering of Christ. Again, Jesus went a little further in His suffering. In just a few minutes, we'll see that He went a little further in His sacrifice. But Isaiah talks about the suffering of Jesus. And we see in Isaiah 53 that He suffered for us. In verse number 20 of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20, Peter is encouraging Christians to be willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. And notice what Peter does in 1 Peter 2, verse 21. He puts the focus on Christ. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, Peter says these words, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps." Jesus, verse number 21, suffered for us. He left us an example so that we would be willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. Continue to read with me. Verse number 22 and 23, we see that He suffered innocently. Look at verse 22. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. When He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself that judgeth righteously." We see again in verse 21 that Jesus suffered for us. Verse 22, 23, He suffered innocently. But now look at verse number 24. "He suffered because He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we are His sheep." You see what Peter is doing? He's going back to Isaiah chapter 53. And he's talking about Christ, again, who suffered for us, who suffered innocently, who suffered because of our sins. There's no question that Jesus went a little further in suffering. Number two, Jesus went a little further in His sacrifice. You may want to be turning your Bibles over to the book of Hebrews, but as you're turning over to the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 26, we learn under the new covenant, Jesus Christ will be our High Priest, who is holy, who is blameless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Again, speaking about Jesus Christ as our High Priest. Now, under the Old Covenant, there was a High Priest that served the people. And we learn in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 11, that the High Priest under the Old Covenant would offer sacrifices and gifts. That was his duty. That was his responsibility. Again, the High Priest under the Old Covenant would offer sacrifices and gifts. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 12, we learn about Jesus Christ, our High Priest, who offered one sacrifice, and He sat down on the right hand of God. Jesus serves as our High Priest, but He also offered a sacrifice. What sacrifice did Jesus offer? Remember, He offered one sacrifice. What was that sacrifice that He offered? We don't have to wonder. The book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 9, verse number 26, He offered Himself as a sacrifice. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He became that atoning sacrifice. He bore our sins on the tree. He tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2, verse number 9. He gave Himself for us that He might deliver us from this present evil world, Galatians 1, verse number 4. In Hebrews 10, verse 18, we read about Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. And remember what Jesus said in verse number 18? "I lay down my life by myself." Nobody makes me do it. This is something that Jesus voluntarily did. This is something that He chose to do. Nobody forced Him. And so Jesus went a little further in His suffering. We also see that Jesus went a little further in His sacrifice by offering Himself as a sacrifice, not for His sins, but for our sins. Notice number three. As we think about this phrase, Jesus went a little further. We see that Jesus went a little further in His commitment. There is absolutely no question that Jesus Christ was committed to doing the Father's will. Think about these verses. In John 4, verse number 34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." In John 6, verse 38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Jesus was committed to doing the will of the Father, even when it was difficult. I want you to stop and think about how committed Jesus was in doing the Father's will, because it wasn't easy. In fact, we started off with Matthew chapter 26, and that cup that Jesus mentioned, "Let this cup pass from me," is talking about that cup of suffering. And you look at what Jesus is praying for. He is asking for another way. "If it be possible, Father, if there's another way to bring about the salvation of mankind." But Jesus knew what the Father's will was. And that's why Jesus would go on to say, "Not as my will, but Father, as Thy will be done." Jesus Christ was committed to doing the Father, to doing the Father's will. Jesus went a little further in His commitment. And because of His commitment, Jesus in John 19, verse 30, from the cross could cry, "It is finished." Even when it was difficult, we learn in Philippians 2, 8 through 10, that Jesus humbled Himself and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus went a little further, not only in His commitment, but Jesus went a little further, number four, in His compassion. In His compassion. We see that when Jesus saw the multitudes, many times He would be moved with compassion. In Matthew 14, it's because of His compassion that He fed 4,000 men, not including women and children. It was because of His compassion in Matthew chapter 15 that Jesus fed several thousand people, again, not including men and children. But the context that I really like is Matthew 9, 35 through 38. When Jesus looked upon the multitudes, He saw them as sheep being scattered, having no shepherd. You remember it says that He was moved with compassion. It's because of His compassion that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. And Jesus cares for the sheep. Jesus loves His sheep. But again, it's His compassion that moved Him to be that Good Shepherd. You know, from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it's because of His compassion that Jesus is qualified to be our high priest. We talked about Jesus being our high priest, but Hebrews 4, 14 qualifies Him to be our high priest. What qualifies Him to be our high priest? His compassion. Jesus went a little further in His compassion. Next, Jesus went a little further in His love. In Matthew 26, verse number 56, speaking of His disciples, everyone betrayed Him. Even His disciples, everyone betrayed Him. But in John 13, verse number 1, it says that Jesus loved them to the end. Do you see the point? Even though everyone, including His own disciples, betrayed Him, Jesus went a little further in His love. He loved them to the end. And Jesus Christ, John 15, verse 13, teaches us how to measure love. And Jesus teaches us the great sacrifice of love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus Christ was doing on the cross. Jesus was demonstrating His love to each one of us. And even the Apostle Paul recognizes that point in Galatians 2, verse 20, where Paul says, speaking of Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I hope we never forget that. That Jesus went a little further in His love. Even though we have transgressed God's commandments, even though we have violated His Word, God loved us. And God demonstrated that love toward us in sending His Son to die on the cross. And Jesus demonstrated His love toward us when He hung from the cross. That's why Paul was saying, He loved me and gave Himself for me. And we could say the same thing. That's why we're saying that Jesus went a little further in His love, because He loved me. He loved you. And it's because of that great love that God was seeking man's best interest. As you continue to think about this phrase in a very practical way and how it applies to Jesus in a spiritual way, we see that Jesus went a little further in forgiveness. He went a little further in forgiveness, and I believe the best way we can demonstrate that is in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, another saying from the cross. You remember what Jesus said from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Again, He went a little further in His forgiveness. He could have called 10,000 angels, but that's not what He did. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And we see that love being demonstrated there in Acts chapter 2. And we see that love continuing to be demonstrated as God is demonstrating His patience toward mankind, giving mankind the opportunity to repent. 2 Peter 3, verse number 9. Because what God desires more than anything is for everyone to be forgiven. And we can be forgiven of our sins in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter will ask Jesus a question about forgiveness in Matthew 18, verse 21. Lord, how oft should I forgive my brother? And I think it's interesting that Peter says seven times. According to rabbinic tradition, the Jews believed that they had to forgive their fellow man three times. But on the fourth time, they didn't have to. And that is actually based upon an Old Testament passage that was taken out of context in the book of Amos. You remember how the book of Amos begins over and over again? God says, for three transgressions and four, I will not turn from thee. And we read about the punishment that God brought upon those different nations. Well, the Jews took that idea and they looked at it literally, that they had to forgive three times, but the fourth time they didn't have to forgive. But Peter in his mind is thinking, you know, I'm going a little further, Lord. How oft shall I forgive my brother? Seven times. And you remember how Jesus responded to that. I say not unto thee seven, but 70 times seven. What's the point that Jesus is making? Every time your brother repents, you forgive him. In every aspect of our Lord's life, we can see that He went a little further. There is absolutely no question that Jesus went a little further in everything that He did. The question, though, is, will we? Will we? It's a good question, isn't it? Will we go a little further in suffering like Jesus? Do you realize that suffering is part of living the Christian life? And Suffering is something that we will all encounter, according to 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Even in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus was teaching all of us how to be the ideal disciple of Christ. Blessed are ye when men shall revile against you. Blessed are ye when you are persecuted, Jesus said, for righteousness' sake. Suffering is something that we shouldn't shy away from. It's something, as we talked about in Bible class this morning, it's something that we should endure just like Jesus. Not only are we to believe on Jesus, Philippians 1 verse 29, we are to be willing to suffer for Jesus. Are we willing to go a little further in our suffering? Are we willing to go a little further like Jesus in our sacrifice? We pointed out how Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. As we think about sacrifice, we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices as God's royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. In Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, I'm to be that living sacrifice. And whatever sacrifice I have to make to be faithful, to honor God, to bring Him glory, I should be willing to make it like Jesus. I should be willing to go a little further in sacrifice. And I hope all of us are willing to make those sacrifices as we strive to put the Lord first in our lives. Because if we are going to put the Lord first in our lives, we must be willing to make sacrifices. And we must be willing to offer up those spiritual sacrifices. But are we willing to go a little further in that? Are we really willing to go a little further in our commitments? In Matthew 10, verse number 33, we are to put, as Leonard said in his prayer, we're to put the Lord first in our lives. Matthew 6, verse 33, we're to seek ye first the kingdom of God. The spiritual should have priority in our life. It's important for all of us to prioritize, to put the Lord first in everything that we do. Are we willing to go a little further in our commitment? If you're serving the Lord, if you're committed to doing the Lord's will, that's great, but are you willing to be like Jesus? Are you willing to go a little further? Or as you think about Christianity, are you trying to see what little you can do? That's the opposite of how Jesus lived His life. That's why we're emphasizing in everything that He did, He went a little further, and so should we, even in our commitment. I'm convinced if we're not focused on Jesus, I'm convinced if we don't have this mindset like Jesus who went a little further, and if we're not willing to go a little further in our commitment, what will happen is this. We will find ourselves backsliding. You know, as you go through the Old Testament, the prophets talked about backsliding so often because it happened to God's people. And while we won't find that exact word backsliding in the New Testament, the concept is there. Hebrews 10 verse 38. The writer of Hebrews says, "The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back," God says, "my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Notice that idea of drawing back. But listen, if we go a little further in our commitment, if we go a little further in our willingness to make sacrifices and our willingness to suffer for the cause of Christ, we won't find ourselves drawing back. We will find ourselves pressing forward. We will find ourselves pressing toward that mark for the prize, Philippians 3, 14 and 15. Are we willing to go a little further in our love? A little further in our love. Clay, what do you mean? Jesus said if we're going to be His followers, we must be willing, Matthew 5, 44 and 45, to love our enemies. We must be willing to give our lives for our own brethren. 1 John 3, verse number 16. Do you see why it's so important to go a little further in our love? Are we willing to go a little further in our forgiveness? We mentioned Matthew chapter 18. Jesus will conclude that section in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 35, by saying, if we're not willing to forgive one another, God isn't going to forgive us. You see, as children of God, there is no room, there is no place to hold grudges toward one another. But you know, so many times that happens. We hold grudges against one another, but if we stop and focus more on Jesus, and as we think about how Jesus went a little further in forgiveness, it'll cause us to want to go a little further in forgiving one another. And if a brother or our sister trespasses against us, and that brother and sister ask us to forgive them, ask God to forgive them, we're going to confirm our love toward that person because we love them and we want God to forgive us, and so we're willing to forgive them. Jesus went a little further in everything that He did. And I hope we're willing to go a little further. I hope we don't settle for mediocrity. I hope, like Jesus, we give our very best to God because that is what He deserves. I hope this lesson this morning will encourage you to be more like Jesus. I hope this lesson will encourage you to keep your focus on Him. This morning, if we can help you anyway, spiritually speaking, if you never obeyed the gospel this morning, you have a wonderful opportunity to do that. If you need the prayers of the church, if you need to repent of your sins, will you please come to Jesus this morning as we stand and as we sing.